At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 9 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, crack interviews. The first half of the pod each week free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. For members this week, we're going to preview the big races at Kempton, Warwick and Wetherby on Saturday. And you have to subscribe now for all the juicy info. Johnny Ward, are you well?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I'm here anyway. What's going on?
It's January.
It is January.
February,
yeah.
You might be a bit better. March, we got to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
April, we got to Aintree. Yeah. And then Punchestown, you'll be in a lot better form.
You look fresh, JD.
Well, it's the dry January, Johnny.
I'm with you on that.
And it's the diet and all these things that we all plan to do.
Well, I have to say I've gotten a massive mental and physical boost from the cold, dry weather. I love it. I just love it. And I know you're walking away in that. And it's just, it's invigorating.
As long as it doesn't rain, I'm grand.
Yeah. And it's been, I would argue it's been very important for racecourses as well, because they've had a tough December. And Naas obviously called off for fog Sunday, but going ahead kind of as we record today. And I'd say the ground drying out has been a great help.
You going to Ferry House tomorrow?
I am going to Ferry House tomorrow, yeah. And I'll be working for Racing TV. I know it's kind of the undercard in many respects, the undercard on the Saturday, the undercard relative to the Moscow Flyer fixture Sunday, but it's actually, I think it's a really appealing card. The John and Dan Moore actually honours like a really great racing family that still shines bright in the shape of Arthur. And the Dan Moore, it's an interesting one as well, JD. Like, I know Johnny Mullen is going in, who would have been a former boss of mine. He's going in as the new sort of director of racing in HRI. And there is definitely, I think, a feeling that their HRI is going to look more at the race programme. And we spoke about it here over the Christmas, that the race in Boston Novice Chase was taken away. They changed the race at Limerick from, was it a listed four-year-old race to a listed handicap, and it got a far bigger field. And good handicaps like this are better to me. I find them a lot more interesting, actually, than sort of grade ones with three or four runners, of which there are a lot these days.
What is your favourite racetrack as we talk about racetracks in Ferry House tomorrow? Do you have a favourite one?
Yeah, it's kind of like picking your favourite child, even though I don't have one. I suppose... probably Leopardstown, to be honest. Yeah, I probably love Leopardstown. Naas would be one that I'd have a big fondness for, but Leopardstown, just the memories of going to the Champion Stakes when I was getting into racing, Falbrav and High Chaparral, that was my first Champion Stakes to go to. And something that I hope they get better crowds for this year, the summer meetings. I remember getting into racing. I loved going to Leopardstown for a flat meeting during the summer, and you'd get like Sheikh Mohammed's colours taking on Cool Moore and a two-year-old, three-year-old maiden, and really good atmosphere, proper flat racing. And I know that it's difficult now, because I think the racing takes place earlier as a nod to the stable staff situation, which is definitely a noble thing. But to get people from work to go racing at Leopardstown for the summer evenings and for the band afterwards, and I tell you, everyone has a good time. So I hope Leopardstown can get that back, because it's hard to get people racing at the moment.
I would agree with you. That is my favourite racetrack, as well as my local track, I suppose, which helps. It was the first track I went to when I was younger. But I just feel it's the fairest track. It's a galloping track.
It's not the fairest track, though.
You don't think so?
No, it's not. It's not. The car is far fairer.
No, but I'm talking about for jumps. I'm talking about dual purpose here.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, in that
when
sense,
I think about Leopardstown in the main, I think about the jumps. So you probably think a bit more about the flat.
I know we're in jump season, but for me, Leopardstown for me is more, you know, Champion Stakes.
Right, it's interesting that we think differently in that regard, because I just think about Leopardstown, I think about the Christmas Festival. I think about the old Vincent O'Brien Gold Cup, the Irish Gold Cup.
Most people would in
February. Now the Dublin Racing Festival obviously coming up, but
I think it's a very good trial for Cheltenham, actually, because I think it's quite similar to Cheltenham in the sense, especially when they used to have the one hurdle after when you came around the bend. But on the flat, it's no coincidence that when the Curragh was being done up. The story was that sort of Coolmore were, and Aidan O'Brien certainly was, quite insistent that they continued racing at the Curragh, because I think the big powers felt that it was a fairer track than Leopardstown. And if you ask a flat jockey, he or she will tell you it's much easier to get into trouble at Leopardstown than the Curragh.
Decent grandstand, good transport connections. So I would feel that it's, if you're high up at Leopardstown, you really get a beautiful sense of the course.
And like you go into Madigan's, the bar, and you're back in Dublin in relatively...
Now that's favourite racetrack, but favourite race day experience for me is different. I think Punchestown at the moment is providing the best race day experience if you go to the festival at the end of April, early May, because the races start late. It's generally sunny weather.
Are you just saying that because we spend time together?
No. I mean, Punchestown was in my compass before I knew you. Obviously, life wasn't as good, but we didn't want...
I don't believe that.
Didn't know what cigars were. But
just so you know, yeah, JD and I were smoking big cigars at Punchestown.
Yeah, and I'm not a smoker, so that was an unusual thing for me to do, neither are you.
It was great crack.
But look, I think they really got their act together there, because I think, when you think about it, Punchestown this year, take Constitution Hill, and you might come over, it's probably be like Cheltenham Mark II for a lot of horses. Irish racing is so strong at the moment. Their prices are very competitive to get in. You have that vibe of late afternoon. You can go into an Ace afterwards and probably watch some really, really decent football if you want. And to me, once again, I love the fact that you can go in there and you don't have to be actually out watching the races all the time. You can go into the kind of reserved enclosure, massive big screen, great band, bit of dancing afterwards, bad dancing if you're like myself. But and I give an honourable mention to Goran Park, which stages the Thiestas Chase Day at the end of this month on the 25th of January. That is the race and the meeting that stops a county. It's Kilkenny Carlo. It's real local vibe. You can smell it in the air. The mud, the slush, the greyness, the fog. It's almost got a charm of its own. And it's something I really recommend to anybody. Get yourself down to the Goran Park Thiestas Chase Day. Really, really good race over 3 miles. Really competitive every single year. Just a quality day.
Quality day. Eddie Scally, the racecourse manager. I'd be friendly with Eddie, so I should put that out there, but I think he's a brilliant racecourse manager. Was lucky enough to have a leg of a horse who ran in the Thiestas one day. My girlfriend at the time, she was driving, and we missed the turnoff for Kilkenny, you know, that turnoff for on the motorway, and it was like all sorts of difficulty getting back on it. We arrived as they were jumping off. The horse ran really poorly and we went home again. It was one of those days. But generally the Thiestas is far better than that. Great atmosphere.
Relationship advice at the Thiestas Chase.
Yeah, we're not going out anymore. But the Thiestas Day is, it's kind of like a proper rural racetrack. Goran is a tiny village. Really, really small village and very picturesque racetrack as well. And that meeting, I would actually strongly recommend that. It's kind of old school. It's a big midweek meeting in the country for jumps racing, and it still attracts a very good crowd.
Gravy on the chips as well is always good. Mm. It brought me on to thinking about the Sunday evening experiment they've been going on with in the UK. They had a Wolverhampton last weekend. But to me, when I just think about that, I just think, they're just doing this for betting markets overseas. Is that unfair?
I don't think so, no. I mean, you look at the Premier League now, and sadly, the money is basically in TV. It's not in people going to the matches really anymore. It's in the massive TV rights money, and racing is like that as well. And the money isn't at the racetrack anymore. It's the betting rights and the media rights. I was coming back on the train from home in Galway the other day, and flicked onto the Racing Post website, and it was like 7:54 in the evening, and I was like, next race 6 minutes. Was it where was it on? One of the all-weather meetings.
Wolverhampton.
And I have to say, this kind of went over my head, because I hadn't really heard about it coming in, or if I had, I'd forgotten about it. I was just thinking, you know the way at Christmas you're like, I can't remember what day it is anymore. I was like, is it Sunday? How are they racing on a Sunday evening? It seemed completely odd to me. And I have to say, I'm totally against this. I think that it's possible that people will start, like, they'll have, like, you know the way they have dogs, bags races now at, like, 8 in the morning. I wouldn't be amazed if they started racing much earlier at racetracks just because of the betting potential, maybe in other jurisdictions. But I think in terms of staff, like, if you go to, and it's interesting how the jockeys felt obliged to go, even though, you know, it's a Sunday evening, they've probably been nearly racing all week. I think if you're thinking of staff, like, you must be on a hell of a downer on Monday morning. If you ended the week, like, coming back from one of these kind of all-weather tracks at all hours of the night or morning, and I wouldn't be in favour of it at all, to be honest.
Something else that is grinding my gears a bit is the tote jackpot and pools in Irish racing for anybody who goes to a race course. So to explain to listeners out there who might not be 100% sure, we didn't have much money, for example, in my house growing up, and my dad was a small punter. He did the Tote Jackpot at Leopardstown, which was his local track. This is a bet where you had to pick the winners of races 3 to 6. So if you lost one leg, you lost the bet, right? So you had to get 4 races in a row with the winner. So you often had to do combinations of horses to increase your chances. So, for example, 3 horses by 2 horses by 3 horses by 2 horses at €1, it would be €36. So the pools would be guaranteed at the big meetings, Punchestown, Leopardstown, the Curra, often between 20 and 30,000, sometimes up to 50,000. I went to Punchestown, Johnny, in 2010 to do the jackpot because there's a rollover of €118,000. The one winner of it, €89,000, life-changing, for small, very small money. I thought it was a really fun puzzle for punters. And what's happened to the jackpot? I was looking at Christmas. The jackpot pool did not break €10,000 on any of the 4 days at Leopardstown, one of the premier meetings of the year. Is it a thing of the past? Maybe it's a relic. Do people just use their phone to bet with bookies nowadays? I just think it's a damn shame. The Tote are set to make a profit this year after incurring losses in 2021 and 2022. I was reading Brian O'Connor in the Irish Times during the week. £69.4 million in prize money this year in Irish racing. And who is that going to in the main? Rich owners. We need a better punter experience. There's enough money swirling around Irish racing to have proper jackpots, proper prize pools. Punters are just as important as any other stakeholder in the game. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, but there isn't an easy answer to what you're talking about there. To be honest, I didn't read Brian's piece, but that argument about the money going to the rich owners for me just doesn't wash at all.
Why not?
Because, like, I mean, just say if it's obviously it's a little bit different on the flat.
Where are the syndicates, though?
Where are the syndicates?
Could we not have, for example, I'm just thinking about punter friendly. I'm thinking about syndicates friendly. I'm just kind of seeing the same owners. And look, I'm not trying to detract from their investment in the game. If they didn't invest in the game, there wouldn't be a game. But where is the huge big race for a syndicate, for example, that might have bought a horse for a small amount of money that you could maybe give $100,000 for a big handicap hurdle at Leopardstown or Punchestown? Is that not something that can be engineered?
If you had a syndicate series, that would be, and I'm really, this is off the top of my head, I think that'd be a fantastic idea. I've said this recently because I've been racing a lot. Racing in general now is a funereal experience. The racing is run for an off-course audience. The race meetings often have 35-minute gaps, as they do tomorrow at Fairy House, between races to suit the masters of the media. And that's just how it is. But it does not make it a good, like, unless you're having a pint, and I mean this in the nice possible way, it's very, very hard.
Unless it's a big day out. We're talking about the industry days here.
Yeah. So the industry, and what's actually alarming as well is you might have a winner and there's nobody there. And this could be at a good meet. This could be at a good racetrack. There's nobody there. Syndicates are massively important. Still are. And you see, you mentioned the Irish Field. Like, the Irish Field will have photos of syndicates winning races in the middle of the paper each week. Think of the power of WhatsApp. If you have 12 people in a syndicate, think of how many people those 12 people are telling. And we need to keep encouraging syndicates to get involved. I think that stuff about, you know, money going to rich owners. JP McManus would hemorrhage money on racing in terms of what he's putting in versus what he's getting back. Whatever about Coolmore is a bit different because of the breeding operation. We need rich owners, but we certainly need syndicates, really.
What about, though, the other argument about making it a better experience on a race day for punters to have these pools with the amount of money that's in the game? And maybe it's a loss leader and you just have to accept that because it's part of the reinvestment in the game, to look after punters by saying, okay, you come here, you could have a life-changing day, you could have a really big day. It's a real puzzle to try and work out a few races in a row to have a winner in, as was the case for decades. And now it just seems to be sadly lamented. I just can't understand that when things have never been as good in Irish racing, why the punter experience for prize pools, for jackpots, isn't better.
Yeah, well, the problem the Tote has is that you'd be, you know, it's like shopping in 5 or 6 different stores in the high street, and, you know, the bread is sort of give or take 130, 140, and it's like €4 because the Tote is just terrible value, left, right and centre. And that's an unfortunate reality of the day of the internet. It's like video killed the radio star. The internet has killed many things, and a lot of it in racing, for me, is negative in terms of the experience. The Tote is just not a good bet anymore. They need to really, really start looking at their margins. And I did note that article in the Field in terms of the sort of improvement in their figures
last year.
Yeah,
return to profitability. And there's nobody from the Tote here as well to state their case.
Absolutely. And when I got into racing, like, you know, and obviously you shouldn't have a bet as a 12 or 13-year-old, but you might get somebody to put the euro on the Tote. And it was a magical experience to me. But the Tote was really vibrant back then, and as was the betting ring. But now, as you say, JD, everyone's on his or her phone. And
yeah, but that's for, like, they're betting with bookmakers. It should be a pool for punters going to the race
course. How do people bet? How do you get the pool full of water, though?
Yeah, well, I think that's marketing. That's advertising. Mm. That's a sale. A bit like the syndicate thing. It's a sale to say, look, this could be a really big day for you. Have fun with the puzzle. Try and work it out. And somebody will win.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's a case that things have got too professional now and big hitters come in and then they go and they put a lot of money into a jackpot pool, and then they're, say if there's a rollover to $500,000, they're going to, a big hitter is going to win it because they can do the combinations that small people can't. But small people in terms of small punters.
Yeah.
I just feel that's a bit of something that I really did enjoy going to the races to go and try and do. I think a lot of people I've been talking to on Twitter this week would possibly agree with me. And I just love to see it come back because it's just part of the race day experience that I think is lost. And for me, in personal opinion, it's kind of a sad loss.
It is, although the betting ring would be a far greater loss to me.
Yeah, which we'll get on to maybe next week, Johnny. Let's look ahead to two races then before we talk to the members here on the Racing Pod. So that Dan and John Moore Memorial Handicap Chase at Ferry House on Saturday, 1:57, one of those city train time starts. 11 runners on soft ground over 2 miles and 1.5 furlongs. I'm going to go with Let's Me Clear About It, Johnny. Fancied him in the Drinmore after 2 wins, but only finished 3rd. Good jumper. If he front runs, he could be in the frame. Liked in the yard. 7-2 shot favourite. Are you a great minds think alike person?
Where's my countdown note here? Of course I'm with Let's Be Clear About It. I was just reading the Racing Post Spotlight. I think Phil Anderson did it, and he said the trip is a quandary here. And I said, that's just a kind of a strange comment given his run in the Drinmore. Then I had to look back into his form. He won a maiden hurdle at Punchdown over 3 miles plus on heavy by like 22 lengths. So I actually don't know what his trip is. Maybe Phil is right. But in the Drinmore, for me, travelled great, was sent off 5-4 favourite. What are you getting tomorrow, JD, in a handicap?
7-2.
7-2 with one bookmaker paying 4 places, albeit a fifth of the odds. With William Hill, just that's the best price. I can't really see him not being in the top four. He's an excellent jumper. In hindsight, he was too short in the Drinmore. He was taking on good horse, including the winner, Iron Maximus. But I still think there's plenty of upside. And I would tend in handicaps like this to back the classier horse. Mm. Don't really worry about giving weight away. Like, if you look at some of those taking him on, William Mullins has Chavez, Uncle Phil, both kind of interesting, and Saint Ra, who kind of looks like he's gone at the game. And then you have Rosie's Hollow at the bottom is one to keep an eye on, just a big price, but I don't think there's much in the race.
So let's be clear about it. I stole your thunder completely there, Johnny. Sorry about that.
That's fine.
On Sunday, we got the Moscow Flower Novice Hurdle at 1:35 at Punchestown. 5 runners on soft ground over 2 miles, half a furlong. So Jigaro, Lombron, Mystical Power, James's Gate, Facile Mode. What do you like?
I thought this was very tricky because Mystical Power was due to run in the Lawler's Hotel of Nace race on Sunday before it was called off, then was scratched for today's race, and by Galileo out of any power, although I do wonder about that horse's inexperience just coming into the race as well. On the back of the form,
hasn't run since July.
Yeah, the form didn't necessarily work. Willie Mullins said he thought the horse had handled the ground at Nace, but by Galileo, I'd be slightly worried. I'm going to go with Lombron just on the basis. Yeah, is that your selection?
But like, free to air selections are written down here. Let's be clear about it in Lombron. But we both agree on the double for the free to air selections.
We're recording this at 1:20 on a... We're recording this on a Friday. Why is Lombron so much bigger than Mystical Power? There's nothing to suggest that Lombron isn't even the top in the...
Like, William Mullins yard.
Mystical Power is by Galileo Vanny Power, but... That doesn't necessarily mean anything. And on form, I can't. I'd be amazed if there were that price discrepancy. Look at some of the others.
Jigaro is the one that...
Jigaro is interesting as well.
One well at Navan over 2 miles. One
very... I'd dearly make Jigaro the... I could see Jigaro going off favourite.
No, probably will go off favourite.
Yeah,
I'd
probably Dutch Jigaro and Lombron, put the two of them together at the present odds, if these are correct. I think at the present odds, you're getting evens, the double there. Don't rule out Facile Mode.
Not at all.
Not having it.
Not having it.
Not at all. So this horse was beaten 50 lengths at Leopardstown. Turning in, I was like, this horse is going to be involved. Because yeah. I tipped him each way. He ended up finishing 4th. That's not an each way reward on the day. But ended up beating 50 lengths on better ground. His run at Ferry House, the Royal Bond, was not bad.
Make mine a double J. So this is the easiest one we've ever had. Lambron 100-30 on Sunday. Let's be clear about it. 7-2 on Saturday. You agree?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
That's easy. This is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, I'll be leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our analysis of Saturday's action at Kempton, Warwick and Weatherby, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.